Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, February 10th, and I am reading from the New International Version. Our first reading today is Genesis chapter 31, beginning with verse 22, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. The title in my Bible says, Laban Pursues Jacob. In one of the Bible study notes that I read, it talked about the parallels here between the Exodus from Egypt and how Jacob flees from Laban. And just like in the Exodus, when Pharaoh pursues the children of Israel, here Laban also pursues Jacob. Starting in verse 22, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Taking his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. When Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You deceived me, and you carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of timbrels and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you, but last night the God of your father said to me, 'Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad.' Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's household. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob answered Laban, "I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your gods, that person shall not live. In the presence of our relatives, see for yourself whether there is anything of yours here with me. And if so, take it." Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of the two female servants, but found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period." So he searched but could not find the household gods. Jacob was angry and took Laban to task. "What is my crime?" he asked Laban. "How have I wronged you that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to your household? Put it here in front of your relatives and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime, and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he rebuked you." Laban answered Jacob, The women are my daughters, the children are my children, and the flocks are my flocks. All you see is mine. Yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine, or about the children they have borne? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it serve as a witness between us. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So they took stones and piled them in a heap, and they ate there by the heap. Laban called it Jagar Sahadatha, and Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me today. That is why it is called Galeed." It was also called Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is a witness between you and me." Laban also said to Jacob, "Here is this heap, and here is this pillar I have set up between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not go past this heap to your side to harm you, and that you will not go past this heap and pillar to my side to harm me. May the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us." So Jacob took an oath in the name of the fear of his father Isaac. He offered a sacrifice there in the hill country and invited his relatives to a meal. After they had eaten, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. As we process this story of Jacob and Laban, I want you to see a couple more parallels with the Exodus event. So as the Egyptians are fleeing slavery, so Jacob is fleeing some type of servitude as well to his uncle Laban. He's being treated unfairly, and so then he flees quickly in the night because his uncle has been very deceptive with him, and as the text says, for 20 years he's kind of been under the hand of Laban. Another thing that I wanted to talk about was this title for God that is found in verse 42 and 53. The title, Fear of Isaac, or fear of his father Isaac. There's an interesting note in my study Bible that says here, this is a surrogate for God or a name for God, or perhaps the Hebrew for this word means kinsman, stressing the intimacy of God's relationship to the patriarch. So I think this is just a wonderful reminder that God should be the fear of Mary, or the fear of put in your name, that we should have a deep, intimate relationship with God where we reverence Him and we look to Him daily. Now, there was a commentary note in the commentary Creation and Blessing by Dr. Alan Ross that I wanted to read to you that kind of sums up this passage. It says, Genesis 31 delineates how God guided Jacob away from Laban and protected him from danger. And then he goes on to say, this story explains the success of Jacob in his dealings with Laban was due to the Lord's presence with him, and that God's intervention in the time of crisis was his only source of strength. The lesson for Israel and for us as well is that the one who has experienced the blessing of God and who is obediently following the call of God may be confident in God's protection. Now let's move over to the Psalms. Our reading today is from Psalm 60. For the director of music, to the tune of the Lily of the Covenant, a miktam of David, for teaching, when he fought Aram Naharim and Aram Zabah, and when Joab returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites, in the valley of salt. You have rejected us, God, and burst upon us. You have been angry. Now restore us. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is quaking. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbasin. On Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God, you who have now rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. This psalm reminds us of the overarching theme of all of the psalms, that God reigns, and only with him will we gain the victory. Now let's turn to the book of John. Today we're reading the final portion of John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35. The title in my Bible says, John's disciples follow Jesus. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As I was reading this passage about Andrew, and Peter coming to see Jesus, it made me think about the timeline of the calling of the first disciples. And Mark is a very kind of short passage, and the passage kind of says that Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and these fishermen were casting their nets, and he says to them, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And if you were only to read Mark, you would probably think, wow, they just left everything. They didn't even know the guy. Why would they do that? But if you read in Luke chapter 5, you realize that Peter and Andrew were the ones who were also called by Jesus to let their nets down. And they caught an overwhelming amount of fish and they brought them in. And this is when Peter realizes that he is in the presence of the Holy One. And he bows before him. And here in the book of John, we get a little more information about Peter and Andrew. It says here that Peter and Andrew were disciples, and they have actually heard John call Jesus the Lamb of God. And so then they go and they follow after Jesus to hear more about them. And then probably the episode from Luke chapter 5 where Peter is out fishing all night and catching nothing. And then Jesus tells him to go out and to cast his net. And they pull in so many fish that the boat begins to sink. That episode probably comes after this one that we read today in John. But the point is that the disciples begin to see who Jesus is. They begin to see his miracles, his teaching, and how he is the Holy One that they have prayed for centuries, the Messiah who is to come. A little side note here, I taught Luke chapter 5 in Sunday school last week, so that's why it's on my mind. But we watched a clip from The Chosen in Sunday school, and it was just such a wonderful depiction of Peter going out on the water, and then he and Andrew bringing in the fish, and then James and John coming over to help, and then Peter confessing his sin in front of Jesus as Lord. It was just a beautiful reminder in cinematography of the wonderful nature of our Lord and the story of his redemption, our redemption through him. Anyway, I have not watched The Chosen, but Amanda has seen all of season one, and I know that many of you have watched it. And so if you haven't and you don't know how to access it, let me know and I will help you get access to it as you and I kind of watch the seasons together. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are tempted to seek after success in the eyes of the world, finding value in our titles, occupations, possessions, and accomplishments. We even lie to ourselves, believing that somehow these things earn your favor. We praise you for the good news of the gospel, that we are made right with you, not through our own accomplishments or obedience, but through faith in what Jesus has done for us. Forgive us for chasing after what will never truly satisfy us. Turn our eyes from worthless things, that we might see the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. Amen.